WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
I love WikiLeaks. 6:10.
Yes, I'm going.
Julian Assange has been arrested in London. Taken out of the Ecuadorian embassy. More on that coming up. Chuck Todd, we have a lot to talk about this morning. Pat Brady later. And coincidentally, Donald Trump is going to be calling in. Perfect time for that. Later on this morning, a special appearance by my friend comedian Tim Kavanaugh. He's bringing in his driver, Pete McMurray. And somebody that used to do radio here and all over the country, Terry Ryder, has written a book, and she'll be on later this morning with the world-famous Wendy Snyder. They're going to come in. Wendy's coming in a little early for that. All right, it's 6:11. Let's get out. We got a lot going on here, so let's get after it with the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Julian Assange arrested. Let's do a little review here, Dave. Going back to 2011, Julian Assange was looking for an apartment in London. You know, maybe a two-bedroom flat, something reasonably priced in a nice school district. And then he realized, wait, they're going to extradite me to Sweden because there's sexual assault charges against me. And he ran into the Ecuadorian embassy. And the Ecuadorian people said, what are you doing here? Looking for directions? He said, no, I need asylum. I'm asking for asylum. They got him a room in the back, and he's been there for 7 years. 7 years. You talk about overstaying your welcome. This is Sandberg's biggest nightmare.
Yeah, this is, you got to put
somebody
it
comes mind. Over and they don't leave.
I hope he's cleaning the bathroom.
And today's events show that the mom of the case, the Ecuadorian embassy, said they've had enough. They allowed the police in.
You need to get a job. And they need to get a job. You need to get out. You need to take care of yourself.
See, they carried him out horizontally.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Him into a van.
He is not a journalist. He is a horrible, terrible scourge upon society. And he's going to get exactly what he's getting exactly what he deserves. Julian Assange was arrested when the new Ecuadorian leadership said, what are we doing with this guy? Excuse me? Why is he here? And once their voice came down a couple of octaves, they agreed to have him arrested. Now, he could have walked out. The British police were willing to accept him outside, but when he wouldn't come out, the Ecuadorian embassy said, come in and get him. You wouldn't believe how much time it's going to take to clean up this area.
There is also a little interesting tidbit about his cat apparently making messes all over the... So that we'll see more about that.
Was the cat taken out as well, or is the cat asked for asylum?
I don't know, but that could have been the breaking point for the Ecuadorian embassy.
So the Ecuadorian people can breathe a sigh of relief. Julian Assange is out of their lives. He faces a number of charges, including unknown charges that could lead to his extradition here. Because you may remember, WikiLeaks hacked into John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager's email. Then candidate Donald Trump stood up and said, I love WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Over and over and over again, which means throughout the morning, Super Joe, we're going to play the Julian Assange game. Whenever you hear President Trump, either as a candidate or as a president, saying, I love WikiLeaks, be the seventh caller, you'll be a big winner. And here's what you're going to win. You're going to win something off the prize list and a treasure trove of documents of unnamed origin, because you got to clean that crap up there at the Ecuadorian embassy. And we agreed to give some of their paperwork away. Item number two.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Rahm Emanuel presided over what is scheduled to be his final city council meeting as Chicago mayor yesterday, drawing tributes from aldermen who praised his leadership over the past 8 years. And the aldermen lined up to pay tribute to Rahm Emanuel. So, you know, they put aside their differences for a little while, and he got very emotional.
He did. And it was funny because a lot of the tributes, they sound negative at first, but they're not. Like the one guy said, you know, you're a hustler. And I mean that in a good way, but you're a hustler. Like, they're, you know, they're...
Chicago aldermen,
like, yeah.
Chicago aldermen street compliments.
Yes.
The mayor has given us more access than he's given anybody else in this town, and we appreciate that very much, and we will have him on again and again and again, unless he, you know, it turns out to be a bad guest, which has never been the case. So congratulations to the mayor, with still a few more weeks to go before the new mayor, the tiny but powerful Ms. Lightfoot, moves in. Next.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Fence issues are back. Neighbors are suing Yu Darvish, not for being a terrible pitcher, but for a fence around Evanston in his house that blocks the Lake Michigan views. Shouldn't they also throw in Dave being a terrible pitcher?
I don't think you can get sued for that.
Based on the kind of money he's making, you should.
Well, yeah,
now,
that
Dave,
might be.
Dave, weren't you on this fence committee originally?
No, I don't live in. I don't live in Evanston.
You're the honorary.
That way.
You're the honorary mayor of Evanston.
No, I'm not. But this has been going on for a long time with Yu Darvish. I mean, he's only been in town for 2 years.
You know what I would do if I were Yu Darvish? I would not make a fuss where people pay more attention to me until I could actually throw strikes and get people out.
You know, that's really a good point. He was a little better last night. He didn't walk half a dozen guys.
Did he get the loss?
He did get the loss.
Oh.
Give up a couple home runs.
Of course, in this new analytics world we live in, losses and wins don't matter.
Yeah, losses, decisions aren't as
but
important.
But he was cold.
Yeah, chilly?
Not used to pitching.
Maybe burn some of the money you're making and use that to warm your hands.
Yeah, or wear some sleeves.
Next.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Are people calling in right now to win stuff with it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Every time. Now, I tell you what, we'll start this since I didn't make the rules very clear.
No.
You know what, Michael? Those first three, you got to give away prizes. But then we'll start this after the top six at six.
There you go.
That's good.
That's a great point, Steve. Thank you.
Burning through the pizzas there.
Dwayne Wade played in his final NBA game with a triple-double. LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Paul are all there to cheer him on, and he fell into the lap of John Legend and spilled, what was it, a shake or a beer? Something splashed all over him.
A shake. I like thinking of it as a shake.
He had a shamrock shake. He had a shamrock shake, which was weird, and it went all over him. And then there's that awkward picture of his supermodel wife and John Legend with that terrified look on their face as an NBA player plops into the lap.
Chrissy Teigen, yeah. It was.
She's a hoot, by the way.
Chrissy Teigen? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's
a hoot.
Yeah.
Next.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
There have been warnings for years that America's immigration system was on the brink in a huge bit of trouble. And then, statistically, an absolute fact, lower numbers than ever before. A net plus for people going back to Mexico and Central America than coming in. And then a few weeks ago, things changed. Not when the president said there was an emergency, but well after that. Now it appears we do have a legitimate emergency on the border. At the current pace of nearly 100,000 migrants a month, officials say more than a million people have tried to enter the country in the last 12 months in total, the majority of them in the last 60 days. The flow of migrant families has reached record levels, as many as 27,000 children are expected to arrive in April. And again, just based on humanity or a sense of humanity, I would ask you to consider this. Why would you come from Central America, walk thousands and thousands of miles, try to get rides here and there, try to and risk your life the entire way, risk your children's life the entire way, unless you believed in some way there was a better life here? The Mexican government needs to take care of this problem. It's their problem. But because they haven't, we need to find a way to handle it, and we ought to be able to do that. We're a big country. We don't need to kidnap children. And this is another thing where Donald Trump's not wrong about the fact. Now he's not wrong about the fact that there is a huge problem there. But a wall's not going to fix it.
No. And as you've said, when you drop off a suit at the dry cleaner, they give you a little ticket. So, like, there has to be some kind of system in place. They have no system.
Right. You can't just take kids.
Yeah.
And
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
We go live to Steve Grzanich in the center of a black hole. Steve.
Yes. How cool was that? Right?
A picture of a black hole.
an image that was put together by at least eight high-powered telescopes around the world of a black hole 55 million light years away from planet Earth.
So what we saw in and what you see in this picture is a 55 million year old picture.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're absolutely right, because we know that light, that's the way light travels, that's the way the image travels. But we're also looking at something, when you see that picture, and again, this is going to blow your mind, 6.5 billion times bigger than the sun.
6.5
billion times bigger than our sun.
I mean, I can't fathom what
that's the thing
is
about numbers in space. Yeah, they're so crazy.
So, Steve Grzanich,
yes.
What happens in the black hole?
Everything gets sucked in. And nothing gets out.
It's like Vegas?
We think. Yeah. What goes in stays in.
Okay. Right. We think.
But there could be, who knows, there could be a whole other universe on the other side of that.
What if there's a back door to the black hole?
Think about it.
With like a tiki lounge or something?
Dave, remember on Bugs Bunny when Bugs would the one episode where Bugs opened the wood stove and then he got into the wood stove and there was a huge party going on?
Yeah, I do remember.
Remember that one?
Sure.
And then was it Yosemite Sam or was it, I think it was Yosemite
or
Sam.
Or Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn. Couldn't figure out why there was a party in a wood stove. And then he tried to get into the wood stove as well, because at one point Bugs comes out and says, "Hey, can I get some ice?" Remember that?
What were those writers smoking?
Remember that?
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on in the black hole. It's the greatest party ever.
You think there's a party?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to go check it out?
Not so much.
No.
That's your top six at six.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Here comes the sun, and I say, it's
Pat Brady being here in a little bit. Chuck Todd coming up. Going to talk about tonight where I'll sit down with Gary Cole and Kent from Veep, Bill from Office Space, and we'll have some laughs. That's tonight at the Union League Club. Give away some more tickets to that this morning, I think, unless it's sold out. President Trump calling. Did you go to that White Sox shindig last night?
I did.
Yeah, did you have a good time?
I did. It was Beyond the Diamond. It's their White Sox season opening celebration for their White Sox charities. This is particularly for, they celebrate the pediatric cancer efforts.
It's great. Where was it?
It was at the Field Museum, and it was in the room where, and this is terrible, and I know Steve Grzanich is not sitting, is it Sue? Or there's
it's Sue. Sue the dinosaur.
Sue was there, and the dessert was set up right at Sue's feet.
That doesn't seem healthy.
Sue moved, didn't she?
Or somebody's there. They referenced her name. I don't know.
Sue's the famous dinosaur.
I didn't see Sue originally, but Sue was in the room.
Maybe Sue left.
Yeah. And we got to sit with Yonder Alonso and his wife, Amber, and they were the nicest athlete couple I've ever met, ever.
What?
Yes. They were so... Ever.
You met a lot of athletes.
I know.
Wow, that's high praise.
And my husband was with me, and he agreed. They were just normal and sweet, and we were asking, I forget how it came up. Oh, because they were auctioning off something of a Michael Jordan White Sox thing, and Pat was asking Yonder if he remembered that or knew about it, and he's like, oh, it makes your life seem so big.
What was he, five?
Well, and he's like, I just got here from Cuba when that was happening, and I was just mad. I'm like, why isn't Michael Jordan playing basketball, and why does he have a different number? Like, he was just a little kid, but he knew... In Cuba, he even knew about Jordan and that, you know, why. And then he was happier when he went back to basketball. But anyway, they're the nicest couple. They like being here in Chicago. We're giving them.
Who hosted it?
Well, Gene Honda, I guess, was the host. But,
oh, good.
After dinner, Jason Benetti did a family feud with the players. And it was so funny. And I know... Super Joe told me the name of this player. He has the nickname Yo-Yo. What player is it?
That would be Yoan Moncada.
Yeah, he was giving answers. Like, one of the things was, things you don't bring on your honeymoon. And he said, your girlfriend. But it was the number one answer. So it was it was really funny. But they had...
Was Moncada married?
I don't know.
Because that's a really bad car trip home.
But the wives were laughing.
Oh, yeah.
But they had the White Sox, for their charities, they don't just raise the money for these kids with cancer. They make relationships with the kids. So there was a guy who spoke who was probably 35 or 36, who, when he was a little kid with cancer, his dream was to meet Robin Ventura. and he got to. And then Robin stayed his friend, and they've been friends since. And he's beat cancer, but he had a few things, you know, when you have a lot of treatment.
I'm not surprised by that at all. Ventura's a good dude.
Oh, I know. He was there, and he looked really nice.
Oh, Robin was there?
He was there.
Did you say hi?
I did not.
Oh.
I wish.
We used to be tight.
Really?
Hang out.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. He was on stage, so I was going to rush the stage, you know.
He used to do the show with me on, I don't know, wherever I was, The Loop, AM 1000?
He was there. Ozzie Guillen was there. Jim Tomey was there. I think it's
wow, nice.
To the,
sounds like a great
organization.
Event.
It was a lot of fun, so we have good partners. And I like, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf.
My friend Bob Pierce was possibly there. Billy Pierce's son. He's very tight with White Sox Charities. I bet he was there.
Steve Stone was there. He kept standing up. For no so, reason. So,
by the way, we need to let the White Sox know that if you invite me, I won't come.
Right.
But I always like to be invited.
Right.
And I'll promote your event heavily.
Yeah.
Heavily. But you have to invite me.
Brent Seabrook was very appreciative of that. So
oh, yeah. He
I would think that the White Sox would, you know, get on board with number
true,
seven.
Yeah. Very true.
But
very
Jason
true.
Benetti did a great job with Family Feud. He was very funny. And there was like a microphone that didn't work or whatever, and he handled that well. You know,
what was Steve Stone doing?
Just standing. He got a, you know, he got
gave
mentioned.
His hand up?
No. But watching Gene Honda, you know, his voice doesn't look like it comes out of his body.
I know. It's
you
bizarre.
Know what I mean? Yeah. I just stare at him like, how do you sound like that? And I didn't know he does the Final Four or whatever. The
oh, yeah. He does not only the White Sox, the Blackhawks, the NCAA Final Four, the Big Ten tournament every year, and probably some other things we don't even know about.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. And they gave us...
and he hasn't even hit puberty yet.
Something funny. We walked out with Bill Melton, and you know Pat knows him from...
Belton, Bill Melton?
Yes. And they handed us all a baseball in a box. And Bill's like, this is probably something I signed. You know, he was like, you know, assuming. But he took one anyway, so... But
so,
I did not. I got two baseballs because my husband went with me, and I gave him to Super Joe because he's got two nephews.
Nice.
Yeah. So we, John Jay, and who's the guy that had the Tommy John last year?
Tommy John.
Michael Kopech.
Yeah. Oh, those are the balls.
Was Kopech there?
I don't remember
seeing him. They didn't introduce him, huh?
But they, everybody else.
How about
does.
Shoeless Joe Jackson? Was he there?
No, Shoeless Joe wasn't there. But Tim Anderson, he was there, and he was also he was getting feisty during Family Feud. So.
Wait, you saw the major league leader in batting average?
I did.
Last night?
I did. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Why wouldn't Super Joe get invited to that? Super Joe, do you have a fancy tuxedo?
Hey guys. Yeah, I do.
He could have just worn a business attire.
We got to get Super Joe invited to everything with the White Sox.
Yeah.
Well, I would have gone.
No, you wouldn't have.
I have a tuxedo.
You wouldn't have gone, but you should have been invited. But you wouldn't. You wouldn't have gone. You had stuff going on last night.
I was replacing bifold doors.
That's what I'm talking about. It's 6:30. We're going to come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
The Carter warrant, FISA warrant, was not only given once, but three times it was renewed. This was not spying. This was not irresponsible by the law enforcement of the United States. And for the Attorney General to say so is a stain on his reputation, which I frankly don't even recognize the guy anymore. I am outraged that he would do that to the law enforcement and to the criminal justice system in the United States.
Last night, former Republican colleague of Bill Barr. Listen, I thought we'd get to Barr right away. I wanted to get Chuck Todd's Masters picks. And then Julian Assange was selfish and got arrested this morning. Good morning, Chuck.
Well, good morning. Assange isn't playing in the Masters, is he?
He's got a 7-10 now.
Does he? They have an earlier tee time? Is that what it is?
They needed a fourth. All right, so let's start there. Why now? And, of course, this doesn't hurt the whole distraction from Brexit to some degree.
Well, yeah, but this is about the Ecuadorian government, who I think sort of had its... was feeling the pressure from multiple countries, not just the United States. And I think they had just sort of... lost their whatever goodwill they felt they owed him, or for some reason that went away. I think there's been some change in the political dynamics in Ecuador as well. So that's really where this came from. And once he lost that protection, that's it. So it'll be interesting. I assume the United States gets him first. And then we're going to find out what's in that indictment. But this is what's fascinating about this indictment on Assange is that it's likely to go back to way back to the Chelsea Manning releases. Then we have the Snowden thing, and then you have the Russian stolen emails. It is interesting how involved he is in multiple aspects of major controversies in this country over the last decade.
Good day or bad day for President Trump based on Assange being arrested?
Oh, I don't know if it has an impact on him. I mean, you know, look, I think the president has been handed a huge gift in what Bill Barr did for him. I don't know if it's politically helpful, but long term, but certainly short term, it is. I mean, this Mueller report, the impact of it has been muted, pure and simple. And for that, if you're Donald Trump, you've got to feel good this morning.
If you're Julian Assange, courage is defined by hiding in the Ecuadorian embassy and releasing documents and claiming you're a hero. Get him into a situation where he's looking at a lot of jail time with people that could hurt him or kill him or make it very uncomfortable for him. Mm-hmm. He would give up everybody, including his mother, in my opinion. So do you think he's got anybody to give up?
Look, I don't know. I mean, is he a journalist or, you know, was he ever a journalist?
No.
And did he end up a witting agent of the Russian intelligence or an unwitting agent of the Russian intelligence? Because he was an agent of Russian intelligence. We just don't know if it was witting or unwitting. And it's possible he could provide, I've always believed an American curated the emails on Podesta, because something changed with Assange. With the Snowden files and with the Chelsea Manning files, he released it in the way that a journalist might release something like that. Hey, I've got all of this stuff. Here you go. Have at it. With the Podesta emails, that was not a journalistic enterprise. That was an intelligence operation, because it was released piecemeal every day. Databases were created so you could search it and all of these things. And you're just sitting there going, this had a level of sophistication and help. So I've always believed an American helped because of how well coordinated the releases of those emails were. They were always timed just right, identified just the right journalists, things like that. It's somebody very familiar with the American media and political landscape. So in that sense, Julian Assange could reveal who the American or American operatives were that helped him put together the Podesta emails, because the Russians didn't do that. The Russians stole the emails. They didn't sort them.
Good or bad day for Putin?
Oh, I think it's a bad day for Putin. I mean, I think Julian Assange and WikiLeaks has been one of the greatest weapons he's had against the West for a decade. So in that sense, a very bad day for Putin. This was That said, I mean, you know, he certainly knows how to operate in this world, and maybe he'll prop up a new WikiLeaks of some form. But I think this is a bad day for him.
Bill Barr seemed to be a pretty likable guy, and you know, has a decent reputation, and seemed to serve Bush one well. A lot of people were curious as to why he would even want to be mixed up in this mess when he agreed to be the nominee, got through his confirmation hearings. And in day one this week, in a separate committee hearing, seemed to acquit himself okay. I mean, there were lots of questions that didn't get answered, and certainly putting up a fuss about what Russia did would have been well intended. But yesterday, to drop in the word spy about a legitimate FBI investigation, is that clumsy or is that intentional?
If his walk back had been a real walk back, then we could have said it was clumsy. But now, when you look at the totality of it, I understand if people think it was intentional. It was certainly the word he intended to use. He thought about it. That wasn't you know, in that sense. And look, it's a word you use if all you do is watch Fox News. If you just sit there and just take the incoming of the Fox propaganda, then that's the language you use. And it's just surprising that the chief law enforcement officer of this country would basically mainstream this attack on the FBI. And it's funny that he made reference to the 60s. You know, I'm old enough to remember the 60s and the spying on anti-war activists. So, okay, that was the FBI, perhaps in its worst reputational days. So, I guess Bill Barr thinks that's what the FBI is. The same FBI that harassed Martin Luther King, that's what he believes. Because that's what he, that's essentially what he was implying with his spying remark. And by making that second comment, told me the spying remark wasn't a clumsy thing. He is going that far. And it seems as if, as the Attorney General, he could have gotten this information already and known. By the way, there's already been an Inspector General's investigation. Yeah. There's already been multiple congressional investigations. None of these conspiracies have been proven that it was some sort of spy ring trying to take down Donald Trump. So why he says he's got to look at it again, you only look at it again if you literally have been not doing nothing but listening to Sean Hannity before you go to bed at night.
Well, and why risk a reputation? I don't understand the upside for him. What's in this for him?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what his motive is. But I can tell you this: he's now Donald Trump's Roy Cohn. Is that what he wanted? Is that the descriptor he wanted? Trump's been looking for his Roy Cohn. He wants an attorney general that protects him. Well, this attorney general is protecting him. And by the way, it's sort of over. You know, it's funny. I'm having this debate with some of my colleagues internally. I said, well, you know, Trump's won the Mueller report. It doesn't matter what's in it anymore because this is sort of the exclamation point here by Barr, but by just dropping the S word with spying, it just hardens it all. It won't really matter what's in there. That isn't going to persuade anybody what's in the report. And essentially, Barr's already tainted it. Hey. Barr's descriptions, everything. He's already tainted the results of this Mueller report. And he's polarized it and partisanized it. I mean, he's done exactly what I assume the entire special counsel provision was intended to avoid. He has politicized the most important investigation in this country in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and to take 2 years of Mueller's work to summarize it in one weekend to say to the committee yesterday, I can't talk to you about
a summary.
Yeah,
it's not a summary.
Yeah, it's not a summary, and I'm not going to talk about why I came to those conclusions. Oh, but by the way, there are spies in the FBI. I mean, it was just bizarre.
And I'm not going to. Oh, but I don't have any information to back up that allegation.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Disappointing. Really disappointing for
no,
somebody
it was,
that
you know what it felt
I
like?
Thought
it
different.
Felt like
of.
The testimony. Felt like the testimony of a pundit. That's all. It just felt like somebody who was just yanked off the set. Of Jeanine Pirro's and just started testifying. He has all this information. He's the attorney general. He has all of this information at hand. He knows the truth.
You don't have a sense there's another shooter drop in this somewhere? Not about Barr, but about the Mueller thing, and I don't know what it is. That there's another shooter drop somewhere with us.
You know, I would say the president's erratic behavior must be leading to something, but it's been 2 years of
erratic behavior.
Erratic behavior. Yeah, yeah. It just leads to more erratic behavior, right? Like, that's the. It's funny, Mark Murray and I, as we were working on our first read newsletter this morning, he said, boy, it's a lot of agita over the last 12 hours, right? You know, whether it's Assange and the Barr and Mnuchin and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah. Maybe he really does fear what's in the Mueller report, or maybe this is just another day in the life of Donald Trump. You know, like, we're so numb to the agita, and it's so frequent that you don't know if it's being done because something bigger's coming, or if it's just being done for done's sake.
Just makes you tired, Chuck. I don't know how you do it every day. Pat Brady, say hi to Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, happy birthday. We share a birthday April 8th, so hope you had a good day.
Nice. You know, the best thing about our birthday is, I always say, is the Hank Aaron anniversary home run.
And I watched it, and guess who else's birthday is April 8th?
Who's that?
Claire Underwood.
Is that right?
Yes, vice president.
Oh, that is true. You're right. I remember that in House of Cards. You're absolutely right.
And she, by the way, is not nearly as vicious as you two.
She got there. Hey, I watched Sunday.
We also shared Tom DeLay, by the way. But anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Right. Thank you.
But the Hank, which of these don't belong?
No, you're too young. Did you watch Hank Aaron hit that home run?
No, I was two, but it was against my Dodgers, and so my dad says we were watching. He was watching. It was Al Downing, so I at
high
least know that
ball,
part
yep.
of it.
Yep.
I,
Great yep. memory. Hey, great interview of Mayor Pete, who's just down the road here. Does he have a chance, or are they going too far left?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, it's Pete Buttigieg to me is what everybody told me Beto O'Rourke was going to be, meaning sort of this new voice who is trying not to sound like the old sort of conventional politician, that he's trying to come at things with a different perspective, a more authentic voice, things like that. So he has struck me so far as what everybody tells me Beto can be. You know, and I haven't spent enough time with Beto to sit here and say that, you know, maybe he has that ability too. Here's my question about Mayor Pete. Is I am curious to see what he's going to look like in front of 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that I think is really good in living rooms. He is built for the Iowa caucuses. All right. The living room, this guy is going to be, I get, he feels there is this freshness to him. I get the idea that, oh, maybe he's not been tainted by the system. He's not been corrupted by our cynicism, right? I think that's where his youthfulness plays into that a little bit. But I'm curious, can he command a rally? Because as we all know, we pick, you know, presidents in some instances, we want them to be bigger than life. So you've got to look like you can, you're in charge of a big crowd. And I know that seems superficial.
No, it's not.
But it's part of the job. And I'm very curious, he has his announcement. How's he going to look on the big stage?
That's
because he's doing
about,
the little stuff really well.
They say that a lot about Mitch Daniels.
Yes, and by the way, that's why Mitch Daniels is not president of the United States. Mitch Daniels is somebody who I would say, among the living people that I've covered, he's one of the five people in this country that should be president of the United States. Okay, that if you were to have an interview process on the people who are most qualified for the job,
yeah, he's the guy.
He's one of your finalists. I just think this is one of the most ethical, honorable people that have been in politics. Yes, he practices some politics, and and he's got his own ideological beliefs and all of that stuff. But this is, but his personality just wasn't big enough. And yeah. I know that sounds
no, it's
unfair,
not. It's the real world. It's the real world.
Process.
Yeah, it's absolutely the real world. The Chuck Toddcast, which is a name that really creeps Chuck out, and it's still, but it works. MTP Daily and Meet the Press. Boy, you got nothing for Sunday. Good luck figuring out what that show is.
Well, a lot of it has to do, are we going to get the redacted report, color-coded, in four colors, by the way, which I'm excited. Do we get that before Sunday or not? That has a big impact on what my show looks like.
It's the weirdest thing. Yesterday afternoon, I saw Barr. He was in line in front of me at Staples. Yeah, he was buying folders. All right, I'll see you later. That's Chuck Todd. I want to congratulate Andrea Darlis. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's very famous. Our friend Andrea was just named, I want to get the title right, it's a fancy title, it's the Senior Director of Constituent Engagement at the University of Illinois. Mm. What that means is in the new Chicago office, she's going to be in charge of promoting the school and making sure media opportunities are maximized and things like that.
How about that?
She was doing that anyway, so it's nice that she's going to get paid to do it.
Cool gig.
Yeah.
That girl bleeds orange and blue.
Yes, she does.
That's a cool gig.
Very cool.
And the other piece of news about the University of Illinois is Mary Vanderbilt has rejoined the dance line team. So that's exciting.
The other thing about Andrea
is my leg.
She's still going to be doing the reporter show on Monday nights here.
Right.
So.
And I believe television as well.
Yeah,
so she's got no free time. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to come back with the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and Steve next.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Seeing pictures of Julian Assange dragged out of the embassy. Somebody should have got him a Harry's razor this morning. It's not a great look.
Kind of looking a little bit like Bill Murray, isn't
he? Wow.
Or David Letterman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Julian Skokie just won an app gift card playing the Julian Assange game. Whenever you hear Donald Trump scream, I love WikiLeaks. Be the seventh caller, and we have not only prizes for you, a treasure trove of documents that were pilfered by WikiLeaks that we will send to you as well.
Including your credit history.
Exactly right.
I think Julie was more excited about the treasure trove.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's good.
They were just announcing new WikiLeaks, and I wanted to stay there, but I didn't want to keep you waiting. I didn't want to keep you waiting. Let me run back under the plane and find out. Boy, I love reading those WikiLeaks.
This WikiLeaks stuff is unbelievable. It tells you the inner heart. You got to read it.
This just came out. WikiLeaks.
It's been amazing what's coming out on WikiLeaks. Did you see another one? Another one came in today. This WikiLeaks is like a treasure trove.
This just came out. This just came out. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, the president should be calling any second now. 7:13 in the morning, and when he does, I'll be ready to grab the phone.
That was the WikiLeaks extended remix.
I can't decide. Was he supportive of WikiLeaks or not?
It kind of sounds like it.
Later, loser.
Hold on. He's calling right now.
Later, loser.
That's the ringtone I have.
Later,
for
loser. Let
me get to the phone right now.
Later, loser.
Good morning, Mr. President. How about this Julian Assange thing?
Who?
Julian Assange.
I'm sorry, who?
The WikiLeaks Julian Assange story. WikiLeaks?
Loser says what?
Okay. All right. Listen, I hope you're well, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm tremendous, Cochran. Still bigly exhilarated.
I think you mean exonerated, sir.
Don't put words in my mouth, Mike Pence.
My apologies, Your Eminence.
I'm exhilarated because of how exonerated I am. I was just inflating the two words.
I think you mean conflating the two.
I think you mean to get me a Diet Coke now, Mike.
I was just leaving, my liege.
Okay, so where were we, Cochran? Oh, yeah, exhilarated.
Right, yeah.
Just ask my Attorney General, Billy Barr. Great man, Billy Barr. So loyal. Bigly loyal. Mm-hmm. You know, if he was a college professor, he'd teach at Loyola. And in all fairness to Billy Barr, there's something very trustworthy about a guy with a master's degree who looks like Fred Flintstone in glasses.
your Attorney General,
Billy Barr,
told Congress that he thinks the FBI may have spied on your 26 campaign. You don't agree with that, do you?
Of course I do. You know, they were tapping my phone, Scott. They were tapping my TV. I'm pretty sure they were tapping my tanning bed. And if you got video surveillance of me soaking up the UV rays, you deep state losers, I hope you saw more than you wanted, and you got sick in your nondescript undercover spy van parked outside.
Wow. What an active imagination. Listen, Attorney General Barr also said the Mueller report's going to be released within a week. It's going to have many redactions. I don't know if that's right.
Lots of redactions. You know, frankly, I don't care about the redactions. The Mueller report's a dud. It's a total dud. I've heard so myself from Barr. I've seen apologies from Representative Omar that were more convincing than the Mueller report. Look, if you don't like redactions, you're not going to like the report. It's going to seem very incomplete. You know, like a book report my son Eric did in the eighth grade.
Oh, by the way, congrats to Eric and his wife Laura on their pregnancy. This is going to be grandchild number 10, and I think Eric's 15th or 16th child, right, sir?
That's right. I just hope to God it looks like my daughter-in-law.
All right, now moving on, sir. The House Dems, they really want the IRS to hand over your tax returns. Where are
we? Cochran, excuse me. Can we please not talk taxes earlier than we have to? It's not even April 15th yet. Besides, I'm under bigly audit, so good luck with that, Democrats.
You know, the
Democrats are so sad, Cochran. They're sad. They're hoping to find something in my taxes, and if that doesn't work, they're promising to blow the lid off my Uber rating, right? Is it a one star or a five? Ooh. I even heard a rumor they're launching a full-scope investigation to find out whether or not I have the late Redbox rentals. You know, they're hot on the trail now, Cochran. Desperate much? Losers.
I sort of like the noise you made there when you're mocking them. Was it ooh?
Ooh. Yeah.
Something tells me they're going to keep trying, though, aren't they?
You know what? Why don't we start taking a look at some of these crooked Democrats and their taxes? You know, like Bernie Sanders, Mr. Millionaire Socialist Book Deal Guy. You know, at his age, I'd be surprised if he remembers why he walked into a room, let alone if he released his taxes. And how about Joe Biden's taxes? You know, I heard he illegally claims that his gropey hands are dependents.
Wow.
True.
Wow.
It's true.
Look, everything at the border seems to be a mess. We heard it's a surge now. You recently said our country's full. There's no more room. Is that, you standing by that?
Yes, completely full. Totally full. I mean, we're at critical mass, Cochran. Just like Chris Christie's gut.
No more room. Just like in that 1998 Ford Festiva that Jose and his 27 relatives crammed into trying to sneak across. No room for you or your Mexican clown car. That I can tell you.
Sir, you let your Homeland Security Chief Kristen Nielsen go this week. What happened there?
She wasn't getting it done, Cochran. She played way too much words with friends during work hours. And honestly, Kirsten Nielsen, I mean, who puts a J in Kirsten? Nobody. Nobody does that. And she was always correcting people, too. She's so arrogant. You know, I will say her resting bitch face was very impressive, though. Now, she actually made Sarah Huckabee Sanders look happy by comparison.
Well, you also fired your Secret Service chief this week. Did you really call him Dumbo because he has big ears?
No, that's totally ridiculous. I never called him that. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for former Secret Service Director Obama ears. He did a tremendous job. You know, wherever he went, we were able to use his ears as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Never dropped one call. Huge signal, believe me.
So, Mr. President, you have no Secretary of DHS, no Deputy Secretary, no head of the Secret Service, no head of FEMA, no head of ICE, no Inspector General, and soon, no Commissioner of Customs or Border Protection. What's your plan?
I'm running the whole thing, Cochran. Look, these are government jobs. The government jobs. It's not like the people who used to have them did any actual work.
Okay.
I mean, you've been to the DMV, right?
Sure, yeah.
But don't worry. We've already put out help wanted bulletins on Indeed and Craigslist. And we got lots of hits on Craigslist, didn't we, Mike Pence?
Yes, sir.
You would have thought we were selling a two-year-old couch with IKEA end tables.
Is Mike always with you?
Always there, sir.
He's at the ready.
Craigslist, your home for used furniture and executive branch employment opportunities.
And not only that, I've handpicked some great replacement folks to fill a couple spots. Yeah, we got Lou Dobbs. He's going to manage ICE. And I'm this close to a deal with Sean Hannity for Customs and Border Protection Commissioner.
Uh-huh.
Now, if any bad illegal hombres try to climb that wall, Hannity will pick them off with a football. Tremendous arm. And hey, who knows? I might even hire somebody less controversial to replace my Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, like Lori Loughlin.
Yeah, Aunt Becky. Well, thank you for calling, President Trump.
Later, loser.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye now. Bye.
He had a lot to say today.
He really did.
I mean, he covered every...
He was loaded.
Every topic.
We got a most valuable person on the planet coming up, Pat Brady, in just a moment. Lots going on in Springfield, too.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We got an MVPP for you in just a second. I want to say hi to Pat Brady. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Morning. How you doing?
Tonight, Pat, the Lincoln Forum. What are we doing?
Your buddy Gary Cole is going to see an episode of Veep, his show on HBO, and then you're going to host and take questions.
And where are we doing that?
At the
Union League Club?
Union League Club, 5:30. LincolnForum.org. Still have some tickets if you want to come.
Downtown Chicago. Great thing to do right after work. Come on over.
Right after work. Have a drink. Come on over.
What time are we starting?
You hit the stage. I hit at 5:30 and you hit at 5:31 because my comments will be brief.
5:30, you're getting late. I mean, that's pretty late.
You'll be
late
out there by 7:30. I'll get you.
7:30? That's the middle of the night.
I know. That's right. You can stay
late. I think that we can give away one pair of tickets right now.
Want to give away a pair of tickets?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. 312-981-7200.
Just one pair.
Gary has so many Illinois connections. Illinois State Redbird. A lot of connections here to Illinois.
Rolling Meadows High School.
Yeah, we talked to his ex-girlfriend from Rolling Meadows this week. Yeah.
Nice woman that called. She sang in the, was it the choir?
Yeah.
Sang in the choir with him, and by the time the phone call was over, I had them in a deep relationship.
Uh-oh, they broke up.
They never dated. Yeah. I made the whole thing up. Yeah. But she's coming tonight, and if you know Gary Cole and he owes you money, you ought to come tonight.
Yeah, he's very funny. Veep is really, really funny.
Yeah, it's very funny. Very funny. So anyway, if you want to go, 312-981-7200, maybe we'll give away another pair before the show is over. How about that? 725, let me give you the backstory here on the most valuable person on the planet. Ed Chansky, 86 years old. He's one of two friends, one a Cubs fan, one a Sox fan. By the way, Ed's a Sox fan. We're hoping to hit their 100th minor league park this summer. Mary Jane's lovely wife, she'll join me in a second as well. All began in 1994, that's 25 years ago, when the major league players went on strike for a salary cap proposal. You remember that? White Sox are leading, probably headed for the World Series, Dave.
Yeah, sure to look that way.
Team owners canceled the rest of the season, first time there'd be no World Series. Strike ended in March of 95. But in the meantime, why not go see some minor league baseball? And that's what had changed. Longtime pals, baseball enthusiast Steve Mullins, the Cubs fan, and then Chansky, the White Sox fan, said, look, why should we keep paying big money when there are minor league teams out there? We wanted to see baseball. And they really liked baseball, where they hustle, where they want to play. Summer of 96, they took a road trip to Fort Wayne to see the minor league Wizards. They became Fort Wayne Tin Caps after the 2008 season. Fort Wayne, they drove to Grand Rapids. From Grand Rapids to Lansing, by the way, one of the great minor league names, the Lansing Lugnuts.
I've seen the ballpark. It's right there in downtown Lansing.
The South Bend Cubs are the Silverhawks, are now the South Bend Cubs. They were Silverhawks back then. And every year since then, they've taken a similar trip where they hit four different minor league parks over the stretch of a week. And you hear the umps call the game. You're right on top of the action. It's tremendous. So let's say hi to Ed. Ed and his wife join us on the phone right now. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
It sure sounds like you're having fun, kids.
Not as much as you.
Ed, do you remember your first White Sox game?
Yeah, Steve, I had a good seat. Or I should say, I had good hours. I was born in Christmas of December the year before and was sitting there with my mother's arms.
Ah, how great is that? And Ed, if I'm doing the math right, that would have been 1933.
Yep, you got it.
All right, so you were a White Sox fan by birth. I mean, it certainly sounds that way. So how'd you meet Steve?
We were both in Germany in the army at the time.
Okay.
It was Oktoberfest time, and we had a mutual friend who arranged for Steve and his name was Dave Baldur. Steve and Dave and myself to get together, and that's how I met Steve. Well, I woke up in his car the next morning.
Can you get along with a Cubs fan? Can you talk some sense to him?
Well, at 6:30 in the morning, there wasn't much talking.
Meanwhile, Mary Jane, these boys, they go out and they see their baseball in the summertime. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think it's great. I get a vacation, and I don't have to worry about being there, so it's good.
And it's probably fun to see them go have a good time.
It is. But you might want to know that Ed is also a jinx of the Sox.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
This is the type of thing only a wife could say.
Yeah.
Ed, what do you mean? Ed, are you the cooler? They lose when you go to the park?
Yeah.
Well,
let's talk about 2005.
Well, first, I started rooting for the White Sox in 1940.
Okay, 7 years old.
And they didn't do anything as far as pennants until 1999. They won the pennant. 1959.
Yeah, 59. Right.
1959. They won the first game by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out. I had a ticket for the second game. Went out and watched them lose. I was there. They lost. And not only that, they lost the series to the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, no. Ed.
6-4. So I went back into hibernation until 2005.
Okay, so 2005 ended well. How could you have screwed that up?
Well, there were 12 postseason ball games.
Yep.
I went to one of them, and guess what they did in that one?
You went to the one loss in the postseason?
I went to the one loss in the postseason.
I got Jerry Reinsdorf on the other line. He says, keep Ed away from him.
Well, you know, they won in 2005. Well, we had 12 postseason games.
You said that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. You lost that one. Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Reinsdorf gave me money and told me to get out of the country.
And what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite minor league ballpark after going to all those parks?
No, I don't have a favorite one, but I have favorite visits.
Well, I'm sure favorite memories from the trips.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ed, I know one thing that you guys like to do is play scout when you're at these minor league games. How good of a scout are you?
Not bad. We saw this
not on there.
What's his name?
Beltran?
Oh, Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Carlos Beltran.
Right, yeah. And I don't know if you remember Soriano.
Oh, yeah, Soriano.
Soriano, nice.
And
look at you.
Back away.
Well, here's the deal, Ed. We just have you go to minor league parks. We never let you into never let you into guaranteed rate. Now, Mary Jane, do you ever go to the games?
I only the local ones, but we'll be in Reno for the last one this year.
I'll tell you what, Ed knows every stat there is, and he and Steve know how to have a good time. So, you know, get out there this summer, get yourself some fresh air, and get to that 100th ballpark. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. And, you know, I know everybody has health challenges and things, but you're going to be great out there, and I look forward to hearing the story when you come back.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. And by the way, Ed, you're the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you having 100% of the votes.
How do you not like that guy? He's the best. 7:32. We'll come back with your headlines just a second, and Pat Brady will teach us some things on 720 WGN.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
Pat Brady's birthday. Pat Brady's birthday was Monday.
Yes, it was. 58, big boy. I caught up with you.
Welcome to the club.
It's all downhill.
I forgot your present. It's sitting in my house if you want to swing by. You know where I live.
Yeah, I didn't get you one this year either. I don't know. I thought we broke up after. You wouldn't play golf last weekend. You went antiquing.
Well, we're trying to figure out when you got me the thong. And by the way, if you're a new listener, I'm not kidding. Was that a Christmas present?
Well, that was a Christmas present in celebration of your new healthy lifestyle, and I thought you want to show that body off on Michigan Avenue, you know, the Michigan Beach. Just, we'll get you one of those little metal detectors you can walk up
Lincoln
and down.
Lincoln Avenue?
No, Michigan Avenue. Oh. Nor, you know, where they walk on the beach. I meant the
beach. It could be Lincoln Avenue. That's okay, too.
What's the guy in New York that plays the guitar with the in his underwear?
Oh, the Naked Cowboy?
The Cowboy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was...
Raise your hand if you're driving in traffic right now and you're creeped out. If you're in Springfield,
when I bought it from the lady, I bought it over at East Bank, and she goes, "Are you really going to wear this?" I go, "No, this is a joke." She goes, "You got to tell me how this works out because I think this is really funny."
Oh, did she?
So, yeah, okay. She knows who you were. She thought it was funny.
All right, so Springfield, you were there a lot,
yes,
and you have been very fair, I think, as a guy who is still at least marginally Republican about Governor Pritzker trying to get some things done. What's happening?
Big week. A lot of bills had to get through to meet deadlines. But the big headline is probably the introduction of the introductory legislation to start to change the Illinois Constitution to change it from a flat tax to a progressive or graduated tax.
And that means what?
Means it'll be like a federal tax system. Instead of Illinois, which is a roughly 5% flat tax on everybody, it'll be graduated depending on your income, more like the federal system. As the argument that the governor's making is that will make up the budget deficit that we have every year of roughly $3.1 billion. But the problem is you have to get it on the ballot. It has to be voted on before it takes effect, so it's a couple years out. And it's going to be maybe more of an uphill climb, everybody thought, to get the votes necessary to get that on the ballot.
Who's going to fight it?
Republicans. And there's
why?
Because it's a tax increase.
It's a tax increase for people that ought to be able to pay for it.
Well, that may not be true because you're allowing the legislature now to make up the brackets so they can go back and raise the lower bracket anytime they want. Right now, it's a flat tax. Everybody pays the same rate. So the argument is that they can go back and raise taxes. And they also argue that it's a job killer. I mean, that's the big coalition against it. It says it's a job tax.
What do the two parties say? Well, we know what the Democrats say. What do the Republicans say is a way to raise revenue?
I think the Republicans, maybe recognizing that we need to raise revenue like Governor Honor did, also recognize we need to create more taxpayers, not more taxes. And the discussion we seem to be having now is this: we need to raise taxes so we can have more government, more spending, without also trying to develop the economy here in this state. So I think that's kind of the Republican response. But the graduated tax, or the progressive tax, to amend the Constitution to do this, is a lot of Republicans think is too big a step. And the other thing is, and I'm not saying this, but this is the argument they're making, that we can't trust the people that are in Springfield right now, that they won't continue to raise your taxes.
Well, that's the thing I think most people listening right now are saying. Why are we giving Springfield more money when they spend it so irresponsibly?
Well, for example, in 2010, 2011, when Governor Quinn was elected, he was a 67% tax increase that he said was going to pay down the debt and deficit. Well, it didn't do that. It went to pay the public pensions. And until we fix the pension problem, which is the driver of a lot of our deficits and debt, which nobody seems to be talking about right now, we're always going to be have this structural deficit.
When are we going to accept that that has to be fixed? Is it $500 billion? A trillion?
I think the problem, or the issue is with the government, is the bond ratings drop, but people will still loan us money because we always have an ability to tax. It's not like the private sector where at a certain point you just run out of money. Now, I'm not sure if that's the same case for the five pension funds. Maybe they can run out of money, but the problem is they didn't make pension payments when they needed to. Back in the day, 2005 and 2006, right before the economy went in the tank, and the rates that they use actuarially, the 8% investment rate, has never come true. So there's problems on both sides. And the reality is these pensions are too rich. You retire with a pension, you get a 3% cost of living raise every year compounded.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and it was given in an era when maybe we could afford it, but we need to change it. But our Constitution doesn't allow that. Although there is a new pension system now for new pensioners, it's just a structural deficit problem.
When you wait for a crisis to become a huge problem before you fix it, it's criminal negligence. And as the texter just pointed out, when everybody moves out and there's no more money, that's when we're going to realize there's a problem we have to fix, and then we're going to have a problem that maybe we can't fix.
Well, we've been saying the same thing for 8 years now.
That but people are leaving the state now in record numbers.
Yeah, we lost 45,000 residents last year. Again, we need more taxpayers, not more taxes, and people leave and businesses leave. But the flip side, the Democrats say, look at the downtown city of Chicago. The place is booming right now.
Yeah, but the problem is, and you've brought this up, you drive to Springfield, you got all these great little towns that used to be boom towns that are abandoned.
Yeah, it's going to be universities and prisons unless we get some economic development downstate. And that's a divide. There's a lot of downstate, upstate divide, and it's Republican versus Democrat. But listen, the Democrats have the governorship and supermajorities in both houses.
I don't know what that highway is that divides
80.
But you've
never detasseled corn, have you?
I have not. But Lori Lightfoot said yesterday that that's not a border. You know, that she was going to try to help relationships.
Well, there needs to be a better relationship between the city and state government.
Yeah, well, there's some it's kind of on both parties, because there's Republicans now in the Effingham area talking about seceding from the state. I mean, that's silly.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree there needs to be, but the reality is politics is about who votes, and the votes actually control who gets elected and what policies you get. Most of the votes are north of I-80, and right now controlled by the Democrats, and even in the places that used to not be in the DuPage County.
Mike Madigan is 77?
Yes.
Okay. He's going to die someday. And I'm not saying this in a flip way. I'm not saying this because people know how I feel about Mike Madigan. When he is no longer in office, because I don't believe he'll leave until he passes away, when he is no longer in office, will this change?
I'm not sure if it will or not. I would assume somebody would step up. Never going to be that powerful, because he's the last super powerful guy in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But even with Mike Madigan, for all the things that people don't like about him, I think fiscally and to a certain extent, he's more conservative than some of the new younger Democrats we see coming up. We saw it in the mayoral race. This talk of socialism scares me to death. And there are people that the House caucus getting particularly more to the left. I'm just talking on the fiscal issues. And I think that's scary. And I don't think Speaker Madigan is that liberal on some of those issues. I think he understands it. Believe me, there's a lot of criticisms that people have of him. which I agree with. But
I just think there'd be, and you know this better than anybody, used to run the Republican Party in the state. I think you would have an engaged Republican electorate, not just a base, but an engaged Republican electorate of the Republicans that are in the state, if they thought there was a reason to do it. And everybody is resigned to the fact, if you're a Republican, Mike Madigan controls everything, why am I even involved?
Well, in 2010, when the party was unified, and our problem as Republicans is we have a section of the party that is locked in on the social issues, which a lot of the people in the suburban areas where all the votes are don't necessarily agree with. And they tend to get a lot of the attention. They tend to be divisive. They never came around to Governor Rauner in the last election. That's why he lost by 16 points. I'm not saying he was going to win anyway, but some of the very far right folks that are stuck on the social issues don't realize that we live in Illinois, we don't live in Alabama, and those issues don't carry the state. When the Republican Party is unified, it can win and be relevant like we did in 2010. And actually in 2016, we had some wins. But that's the problem right now. And when you're fighting against two supermajorities in the House and the Senate and a governor, it's a problem if you're Republican. But I think Jim Durkin and Bill Brady and leadership have done a good job showing themselves to be the loyal opposition. We're going to stand for what the party believes in. We're going to fight for it. But it's tough when you're outnumbered.
Governor Quinn and Governor Rauner were regular guests on the show. Governor Pritzker needs to as well, because he needs to talk to the people that listen to the show. Governor Pritzker, I'll again say this publicly. We call all the time privately. You're invited. And for Mike Madigan, this would be show number 1,351 where he hasn't shown up.
Hey, let me tell you a quick story, though. I was eating lunch the other day, last week, and I'm sitting there, and I see Governor Pritzker in there with Governor Edgar, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, if he sees me, he's going to come over and smack me for that press conference I did during the campaign.
The toilet press conference?
The toilet press conference. Yeah. You know, I give him a great deal of credit. He got up, walked across the room. How you doing? Had a nice conversation, so I'm working on getting him on. I just think, listen, there are things that I don't agree with what they're doing, but I think people are truly fed up with constantly screaming. Kinzinger was talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Just because I don't agree with you policy-wise doesn't mean you're a bad person or you have bad motives.
It's not about winning the argument.
It's about
getting
something done. And we're at a crucial stage, both nationally and here, and I think that's the attitude, hopefully, that people are still maintaining.
A couple of national bites before we run out of time, and a chance for you to win more tickets to Gary Cole tonight, when Gary Cole and I talk it up about Veep and other things.
Hey, what are you wearing tonight, Steve? I just want to check.
Sundress. Okay. Pat Brady's here. And before we run out of time, Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
Tonight, we'll be at the Lincoln Forum, Union League Club of Chicago, starting at 5:30. You can meet Gary Cole. We'll watch Veep, the third episode, before anybody else can see it. That's Sunday night on HBO. And question and answer stuff as well. How do people get tickets?
LincolnForum.org, or just show up.
All right.
And then if you go tonight, tomorrow we'll be taking callers to say who is more funny, you, Gary Cole, or Pat Brady.
Well, I'm not in that contest. I'm not Hollywood like you and Gary, Steve.
That's a good point. I got less than a minute here. Will we ever see Trump's taxes?
Well, here, two things. I think the Democrats are being complete idiots doing it through the congressional process. If there's a problem with his taxes, the Southern District of New York has them. They're taking care of it. And Mueller's already looked at them. So we're going to see him. I hope not. I wish he would have turned them over like everybody else did. But the process of using the Congress to get his tax returns without a good reason other than they want to politically embarrass him, I think it's a waste of time.
The Assange thing, anything we're missing?
No, I agree with Chuck Todd. I think it's a worse day, though, for Trump than because Assange can tie up the Roger Stone conversations. Not that they're going to revive the conspiracy against the campaign, but it can certainly tie that up against Stone.
Barr, sloppy or complicit?
Sloppy.
I hope you're right.
I don't agree with the he's a shill. He's not going to give up a 40-year career. I watched that, too, when he said spying. I think that was a loaded word. But given what he's done in the last two or three weeks, I'm not sure if he just didn't have bad people around him. And Rod Rosenstein, for whatever people think of him, he authored the Comey memo, and he's been around some really sloppy conduct in the last couple of years.
See you tonight.
See ya. Thank you for doing it, too. Thanks.
Thanks, Wood. A minute before 8, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. I haven't touched a thing on this control board, and it seems like everything's changed. Let's go live now to Dean, who is in Channel 9's newsroom.
Richard's the entertainment editor.
Channel 9.
There's been like three or four things on this control board that have been turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Gremlins.
Sure. Joe, what are you, A2 program?
I like that Steve Grzanich.
It was turned off again.
Steve Grzanich suggested Gremlins. I'm not sure if you caught
that. I'm not turning anything off. Somebody's coming in here and turning stuff off.
It could be Gremlins, then.
Yeah, don't feed them after midnight.
Right. One,
don't put water
two,
on.
Three. You want to play the song now? I mean, go ahead, play the song now.
We can all sing.
Go ahead, play the song now if you want. Ready? One, two, three, and...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Dean, you've known me long enough to know that I've earned the title of moron.
Oh, and then some.
And I am notorious for turning the wrong things on and the right things off.
But
I haven't touched a thing.
Yeah.
And twice this morning, switches have been off that were supposed to be on.
Maybe static electricity.
You know, it could be. Fix could be in. Somebody's trying to get me whacked.
Sometimes that'll happen. Static electricity will, you know, because all the switches, everything's, you know, so sensitive now.
Let me see if I can fire up the textures. Dean, you know, I'm at thin ice around here anyway.
So I
guess you've probably heard.
when the new owners take place, this will all be different.
You agree with me that Julian Assange looks terrific?
I have not seen any of his picture, but he's always been a very handsome man.
He looks like David Letterman's less attractive brother being dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy this morning.
I didn't see that. I'm going to have to look.
It's not good.
I should be near a TV show so I could see these things.
Yeah, what possible way could you have access to the news?
No, I'm very busy, Steve.
It's an outrageous request.
I don't have time to watch the news. I'm very busy.
So here's what I'm hearing.
Waitress, I'll have whatever Steve's drinking.
So what I'm hearing is, oh, by the way, I'm going to be with Gary Cole tonight. You want me to give him a message of any kind?
Just tell him I said hello.
Okay. So here's what I'm hearing.
What are you doing with Gary Cole tonight?
Tonight at the Lincoln Forum, we're going to watch the third episode of Veep from this weekend, which, you know, was a preview. We haven't, nobody's seen it yet, so we'll see it before the rest of America.
And then you'll discuss it with him?
No, it's just Gary and I watching TV together. Yeah, we'll do a Q&A after.
Having popcorn, PJs. Right.
We do that thing where we hook ankles.
I like the thought of PJs.
Yeah.
That could take it next level. You're not expecting it.
Cozy PJs in this chilly weather.
We ordered each other PJs from Vermont Teddy Bear.
There you go. Ooh, yeah. What's that one that Dave Ennett always pushes? The footsie or whatever? What is it?
The hoodie footy. You think I forget that?
Oh, my. So here's what I'm hearing, Dean.
Naughty.
I'm hearing that Lori Loughlin thought the whole thing was a big joke.
Sassy.
All right, enough. Lori Loughlin thought this whole thing was a big joke, and now she's freaking out because she's going to go to jail.
Like we said yesterday, doesn't seem like she's taking it very seriously. That's for sure.
And there's new charges.
Well, now there's money laundering charges that came down yesterday. But the newest news on this is that she has been cut out of the upcoming season of the Hallmark Channel's When Calls the Heart, which I'm not familiar with. But apparently it's a very popular series on the Hallmark Channel.
When Calls the Heart? You sure you're not missing a word in that title?
No, it's
When Calls the Heart?
When Calls the Heart.
It's not like When Dave Calls the Heart or Bob Calls the Heart?
No. Think Hallmark card.
When Bob Calls the Heart Doctor? I mean, what?
Cover phrase of a Hallmark card.
Calls the Heart.
When Calls the Heart.
Is it W-H-E-N, W-E-N?
W-H-E-N.
Not getting it. So she's out of that. So she's unemployed on top of going to jail.
Well, she got fired from Hallmark when all the college admission scandal went down in the first place. But now Hallmark yesterday announced that they're cutting her out. She's been cut out. They don't know if they're going to hire somebody else to take over the character yet or whether or not the character will be completely written out of the show's new season.
Hey, Steve and Dean. When Calls the Heart, a little Elizabeth Thatcher is a young teacher accustomed to high society, so she experiences culture shock when she gets her first classroom assignment in Coal Valley, life in the small mining town.
Obviously, there's no English class there where she teaches because it's When Calls the Heart.
Yeah.
But the interesting twist on this small schoolroom is that one of the marms pays $500,000 to get her kid to be able to go to school there.
I'm telling you, doesn't it? It's a Hallmark movie dream. It just writes itself. That could be community service that she has to do a movie about what an idiot she was.
Do you like these, do you watch these Hallmark movies ever?
Desperately, all the time. No, I don't.
They are tremendously popular.
I'm sure they are.
And I'm good. There's something for everyone. I always say this. There's not, you know, good or bad. There's just, you know, either it's your taste or it's not. People love these Hallmark movies. I've tried to watch them to understand why people like them so much. And I can only get through about 5 minutes worth, and I start breaking out in a rash.
Because the acting is always usually so bad.
Yeah, it's over the top.
It's always like B actors.
Is it very soap opera-y?
Oh. Mm-hmm. It just always has a real, you know,
it
serious
is,
emotional thing.
It's super predictable. My sister and my mom love the Hallmark movies, but you know in 2 seconds. You could see just the opening credits and know what's going to happen, and right. That it's not very intriguing. Our former producer of the show, Pete Zimmerman, he and his wife do a podcast here, Molly and Pete Save Christmas, where they just review Hallmark Christmas movies. They're all in on the Hallmark.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. There's always a lot of stalker movies.
Do they have the soap opera? Do they have the soap opera stare breaks where some dramatic moment happens and the music swells and the actor just stares into the camera?
No, I don't even think it's that good.
That was, I remember that one. That was called When Actor Stares.
The Heart.
There's always townspeople.
Everything is
people
the heart.
Jeffrey Rush is in the news. Boy, is he a good actor.
He's an Oscar-winning actor.
Tremendous.
You know, he's from Australia, so the breaking news overnight was that he won a defamation of character lawsuit that he filed against a newspaper there that published a story about him, accusing him of sexual molestation. So he sued the newspaper for defamation of character, and overnight the verdict came back from the judge that he won.
This is one of those Me Too stories, right, where the actor actually fought back.
Yeah, this was one of the Me Too stories where he was accused. It played out in court, and this was the defamation suit. But the judge found that the person who was accusing was prone to exaggeration, and her testimony was not deemed credible in the court. So,
Star Wars convention today?
Oh, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be there today, and then I'm going to be there all day tomorrow.
Thank you, moron. You're my only hope.
Between
isn't that a line from the movie? Thank you, moron. You're my only hope.
Yeah, that was. Mm-hmm. And then the famous scene where Darth Vader looks to Luke Skywalker and says, "Luke, I am your moron."
Will you be in costume, Dean?
No, I don't have any costumes. They don't make costumes in big boy sizes.
You could be like an elder. You could be an elder advisor.
I was thinking of see if I could find an Obi-Wan thing, because it's, you know, very loose fitting. I have to think it would be
kind of drapey.
Yeah, it would be very comfortable.
Oh, helpful listeners texting in. Here's a Hallmark movie idea. Lori Loughlin plays Lori Loughlin. She makes it out of jail and parole just in time to make it home for Christmas. I call it a paroled Christmas heart.
There you go.
Nice. This is how great ideas get started.
Another texter said Lifetime is the stalker channel. That'd be tough to market it that way.
Yeah, I had that wrong. It's Lifetime, not Hallmark.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, so we'll come back. Kim Kardashian and Oprah Winfrey. Which is the one that did the sex tape? Is that Kim or Oprah?
I can't remember.
All right, so we'll come back and talk about two stories involving both of them. First at 8:22. Steve, what's up at 8:30?
Steve, the Justice Department has announced charges against WikiLeaks.
Hold on, I got to turn Dean's mic off so he doesn't cough.
Excuse me.
Julian Assange.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
You may have seen it on TMZ, but show business is hot. New couple, Pete McMurray and Tim Cavanaugh, are waiting in the PPG Paints green room.
Really?
Yeah, they'll be on soon.
Did they finally start that big dance team that they've been talking about forever?
Yeah. They were trying to come up with a couple's name, like Cavamurray or McNaw. So far, it's not working out.
I like McNaw.
Sounds like a detective series from the 70s. All right, why is Oprah in the news?
Oprah is in the news. She was on Trevor Noah last night.
You mean literally, like she fell or something?
What? You mean like literally fell on him?
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant.
No, she was on his show.
Oh.
Yeah, she was on his show. As far as I know, they didn't. They had appropriate human contact.
Okay.
But she was talking about lots of things. She's you know, talking about this new show that she's going to do with Prince Harry, produced with Prince Harry. But the subject came around to the Leaving Neverland documentary, the Michael Jackson documentary, for which Oprah has been getting lots and lots of negative feedback. I mean, you know, for forever, Oprah has been untouchable and, you know, immune to anything like that. But Oprah says that she has not gotten so much hatery, as she called it, since she participated in Ellen DeGeneres' coming out. Years and years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, I do, actually.
All that was going on, and it's hard to even believe that, you know, that was an issue back then. But it was, and Oprah says that she's just been inundated with really nasty comments of people saying that she's siding with the accusers, which she couldn't have made any clearer on that documentary, that this is about anybody who abuses. This is not specifically about Michael Jackson, but... Mm-hmm. Interestingly, you know, she had posted on her O website the one hour conversation that she had with the accusers after the documentary, which was called, I think it was called After Neverland.
Yep.
That's no longer on Oprah's website. It has been taken down. So, you know, she says that she is unchanged in her feelings about this, that even though she's getting all the feedback, she still feels the same way about it, that, you know, people need to look for patterns for possible abusers. But apparently, you know, I don't know if it was because of feedback or just it was going to be taken down anyway, but the conversation that she had with the accusers is no longer on her website.
Well, here's a bulletin, Internet. Abusing children's wrong.
No.
So how about we start with that and work backwards? So, Kim Kardashian has finally decided that she has a career path that's going to fulfill all of our visions for her. Because when I see Kim Kardashian... And I've seen the naked pictures of her because, you know, you turn on your computer.
Research.
No, I mean, you turn on your computer, that you know, once it boots up, it's Kim Kardashian naked. The pictures just pop up. And Kim Kardashian is going to be what?
Who more would you want to represent you in a court of law than somebody who can balance a martini on her posterior part of her body?
Which she's done.
Yep. She says that she wants to be a lawyer and plans to take the bar exam in 2022, even though she's not gone to law school. She says that she began a four-year apprenticeship with a law firm in San Francisco last summer. And in some states, you can become a lawyer through an apprenticeship instead of going to law school and getting a law degree. And Kim says that that's her plan. So you get into legal trouble, Steve. You need a contract negotiated, something like that. Kim will be your go-to person.
Yeah, look, I salute what she did for the woman that was in prison for all those years. And I think she can use her celebrity status to help other people. I don't think she should be a lawyer. I'm pretty clear on that.
What is that? It's like a real life or Aaron Brockovich, right? Or like is Kim?
I think it's more like Reese Witherspoon.
Legally Blonde.
Yeah, I think it's more of a Legally Blonde.
Right.
Father in her father's footsteps.
That's true. Her dad was an attorney.
Yes. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Good point by you.
Yeah. She says she was inspired to do all this after getting the woman released from prison and convincing President Trump.
And that was great.
To make that happen.
Who are the other Kardashian sisters?
Khloe.
Oh, Khloe, I understand, is going to be a nuclear physicist. Who else is in the family?
Cutesy.
Cutesy.
Yeah, wasn't there one cutesy?
There's Cutesy. There's
Courtney.
Cuddles.
There's Donner. Blitzen.
Zeppo. And Curly.
Kendall and Kylie.
And then the loser, Rob.
Yeah.
But
he is a loser. He's got some. Yeah. He's got a line of socks
the loser.
Or something.
He's got a line of socks.
Oh,
that's fantastic. All right, Dean, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's all I have for today.
Good luck there at the Star Wars convention, you little freakazoid.
I'm going to talk to you live from there tomorrow. I'll be there at this time tomorrow. May the force be with you.
Don't you threaten me.
He's on the radio. Here at GN, we all want him back here full time again. So come on, Todd.
Don't say maybe, say when. And bring back producer Scott Miller.
Tremendous work by John DeCoss. Whatever happened to your producer, Scott Miller, Pete McMurray?
Can I get a copy of that, please? I don't have a copy.
You're asking me for it. I don't know how anything works here.
Okay.
Whatever happened to your handlebar mustache producer, Scott Miller?
Scott is hosting an afternoon talk show in Bloomington.
Hosting the show?
Yeah.
Is he good enough to do that?
He's had some pretty good success down there.
Have you heard the show?
I have.
And?
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's just like WGN, but in Bloomington.
It's just like WGN?
I mean, it's a news talk station. They do news top of the hour.
But Scott, your producer was a dingbat. How's he doing a news talk show?
Pretty low in radio.
I didn't know he knew issues. Does he know issues at all?
Sure.
Really?
You read the paper, man.
So he's not just talking mustaches?
No. Is that the mayor? I think the governor has been on with him. Yeah.
Well, I would hope. It's closer.
Right.
It is closer. It's a lot easier.
Definitely.
The voice you hear is my friend Tim Kavanaugh. Tim's one of the funniest people in America, though he'll never admit it. And if you go to Tim Kav,
I will never prove it either.
TimKav.com, you can get everything Tim's ever done.
Yeah, exactly right.
And you should. And Tim's going to perform 15, 20 songs for us starting in just a few minutes.
You know what? I would like to. I brought my big book of songs.
Yes.
And don't get overwhelmed. I mean, there's probably 200 songs in there. But there's only the top 11 are ones that I ever play.
There's a show
because the other ones need work.
John DeCoss was just telling me there's a show coming up. It's you and Tim Walko.
Yeah.
Walko, legendary Chicago comedian.
That's going to be at the Metropolis.
Is it Battle of the Tims? What's it called?
It's a Tale of Two Tims.
A Tale of Two Tims. That's good.
I had nothing to do with the title.
Yeah.
I would have got, Tim Time or, Time's Up.
And Pete, you know this because you're hosting it. There is a music festival this summer only featuring Tim Kavanaugh, Tim Stock, where he's going to be at a farm on the side of a hill.
Exactly right.
And Tim's going to play for 3 days while people take drugs.
Yep. Yep. It's going to be just outside of Crete.
Is it?
And not only will all the Cretans be there, but a lot of people from other areas.
I've never been to Crete.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Are you kidding me? Balmoral Racetrack? No. What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. All right.
So, if you guys know Horton's Lighting in LaGrange.
Sure.
Yeah.
Horton's Lighting in LaGrange had an employee that, one of their beloved employees, who passed at a very young age due to cancer. And they started a foundation to support cancer research as a legacy to her. It's called the H Foundation. H as in H. Horton's H.
Right.
Get the old deal, right?
Yep. I got it.
And one of the great people I've ever known, Courtney Fromm, runs that deal. And Courtney Fromm has been running it for quite a while now. And the people that own Horton's are the huge supporters and backers of the whole thing. And another one of the Goombay bashes is coming up. How many times have they done this? Because I did the first two, I think.
It's got to be close to 20 years, right? I've hosted the last two, but they've been around
forever.
Early
2000s. Yeah, okay. So they must be coming up on 20.
Right.
Because I think I did it like in 2002, 3, somewhere around there.
And the reason they call it the Goombay Bash is it's not a black tie gala. They want people to show up at this gala in shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Party clothes.
Yes.
And it's affordable.
Yes.
Which is nice, too. So, Courtney, thanks for the work and all your H Foundation folks do. And Pete, you're going to emcee this, boy.
Comedy for Cancer is next Wednesday, my and mother's birthday.
And I understand you're petrified.
I'm not petrified.
I'm told you're petrified.
I sent DeCoss a text. I'm like, I gotta write some material.
How I'm hearing the story. I'm hearing the story that you approached John DeCoss and said, you gotta write me some jokes.
I don't think
is that
I
what
said
you said?
That, but maybe John twisted it a little. Mm. But yeah.
Have you ever known John DeCoss to twist anything?
No, never. Never. John is a straight arrow. I heard today he was petrified, is what I heard. And I thought, he's gonna be in a dish.
Oh, you thought it was a whole chemical thing.
I thought it was, I thought it was like, oh man, this is going to be the origins of Pete McMurray.
That would be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when is this?
It's Wednesday at the...
Isn't that your mom's birthday?
Tivoli Theater, yes, in Downers Grove.
Tivoli Theater?
How did you know that?
Yeah.
Tivoli Theater, that's where we do the New Year's Eve show.
I know, how about that?
Yeah, that's good.
Right.
How did I know it's his mom's birthday? I'm psychic.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And is your mom coming to the show?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
My sister lives in Naperville. We're trying to get her up there.
Yeah, she should. So who else is performing other than Tim Cavanaugh? Because you don't need anybody else, but who else is performing?
We've got Patty Vasquez.
Good.
Is going to be on the show. And Paul Farvar. Do you know Paul Farvar?
That can't be his last name.
Once you see his comedy, you will get Farvar fervor.
Are you missing a syllable there?
Farvar, no, I'm not. Steve, Farvar, he has an extra A in the middle, but he doesn't use it.
You sure it's not a K at the end?
It's Farvar? It's Farvahar is what it looks like, but it's Farvar.
I feel like they just did the last name and they quit. Yeah. Like they got most of the letters in, then they quit trying.
It's like one of my pronunciations,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. No, I. You know what? There was, I think, a lot of drinking involved.
Yeah,
because it's sort of like when you get pulled over and the cop says, "What's your name?" You say, "Paul Farrar." You know, you're walking the line already.
So it's you and Patty and a guy with a fake last name,
and Paul Farvar, and my friend Jim Peterick is going to come by.
Come on.
My friend, he's doing two songs, one of which is a duet with me.
Oh, how great is that?
So it's very, very cool.
Is he going to let you borrow a pair of his leather pants?
He doesn't have to lend me leather pants. I've got my own.
Oh,
well, they're not leather so much. They're like a faux naugahyde.
They're naugahyde.
Yeah. They're good. They're new. That's what they're showing now.
Can you play me a little bit of naugahyde, your famous song, naugahyde? I remember that.
Naugahyde makes me look so good.
See, there you go. That's the whole song. It was really good. Strong.
It's very strong. And I can't recommend this fundraiser enough because it's going to be for a great cause. And Steve, as you know, I work all over and I do a lot of fundraisers.
Yeah.
And
you're a very generous guy.
This one is much. The last one I did and it was very successful. We raised $3,000 for.
What was the cause?
For parents who couldn't afford the bribe money to get their kids into exclusive colleges.
Oh!
So it worked out really well.
That's fantastic.
It's a very good cause.
And the acronym for that, I think, is Aunt Becky, right? Don't they call it the Aunt Becky Fund?
Yes, it is. I just did a fundraiser for my parish. We were trying to raise money so that we could get a better cable TV package
for
the rectory.
Good.
And it was very successful. Now the priests have 83 stations of the cross.
Oh, nice.
Plus ESPN 3 and 4.
Nice.
Which is great.
Nice. When we come back, will you play a song?
I'd love to.
All right, stand by. Tim Cavanaugh will play for us in just a second. Pete, do you have anything to add at this point?
HFoundation.org is where you can buy tickets.
Naugahyde makes me look so good.
Thank you.
I'm just warming up. Masters is already over. Kevin Tway is 2 under 4. I've declared him the winner. Tim Cavanaugh is here. Tim, you've been doing music now since when? When did you start doing music?
I started doing music before I started actually performing, because that's what happens a lot of times is you do the music and then...
You're making musical noises at that point?
Yeah, I was making musical noises and nobody knew what to do about it. They thought it was some sort of a...
Medical issue?
Yeah, somewhere on the spectrum. You know, I won't even say what spectrum it was. But for a long, long time. And I wrote serious songs at first, and then people laughed at them, and then I said, well, maybe that's the way we should go with it.
All right, so give me
a song.
Yes, what have you got?
I've got a song, and I don't have my guitar on, because this is going to be something that we're all going to involve.
Oh, we're going to jump in.
Dave Ennett, you can sit this one out if you want, or you can, by all means, do whatever you like.
Well, thank you, Tim. As long as my voice stays in one piece, I'll be
fine. Well, there'll be no singing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what do we do?
So, okay, my niece had a birthday, and we took her out to a restaurant, a little place in our neighborhood called Bobby's Chicken Shack.
Okay.
And the whole staff came out saying happy birthday, but they didn't sing the regular happy birthday song. They had their own that they made
up at the restaurant. Yeah.
So anyway, I thought we'd try to recreate that magic moment at Bobby's Chicken Shack. It goes like this. Happy, happy birthday from Bobby's Chicken Shack. We hope your birthday's happy. We hope you will come back. The chicken that you ate tonight was totally confused. The whole concept of birthday to her was something new. because she never had a birthday or party like yours here. She was hatched and slaughtered in less than a year. And while she screamed for mercy, she didn't get her way because we had to fry her up for you on your birthday. Hey, 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 hey.
That's fantastic.
But there is some better news if the truth be told. The coleslaw that you're eating is over 3 years old. Hey.
That's nice. Fantastic. That's a nice birthday. I think you're actually promoting truth in birthday songs at restaurants.
Why not?
All right. Can you hang around a second?
Yeah.
Hang around. I want you to do more. I want you to do more. And Pete, I'd like you to hang around.
Thanks.
It's coming up on 9 o'clock. Northwestern Medicine News Service, Steve will be next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
9:11 in the morning, CLTV and 720 WGN. Steve Cochran. We continue. My friend Pete McMurray is here. My friend Tim Cavanaugh is here. They're both going to be performing on the 17th. It's next Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, Tivoli, Wednesday. Downers Grove, Comedy for Cancer, hfoundation.org for tickets.
And again, Courtney Fromm and all your people, thank you. And the H Foundation, thank you for all the good work you're doing. Support them whenever you can. Tim, everything Tim's ever done is on timcav.com, including some of the bad stuff.
Oh, God, there's a lot of bad stuff
so
on there. But you know what? There's so much good stuff.
There is great stuff.
And that's what I try to do.
Tim is one of my favorite funny people.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's really nice. Well, Steve, you're one of my best friends in the whole world.
So there you go.
You know, and
Tim and I were married briefly in the 80s.
And a guy who I met doing stand-up up in Minneapolis years and years ago.
The Comedy Gallery? Is that where
we met? The Comedy Gallery. Yeah. That's where we met. And it's like, who is this guy? He's a radio guy and he's funny. What?
Yeah. Because comedians generally see radio guys, they don't like them.
Well, no, we like them, okay, because they can help us.
Right.
But
I was a comedian before I was a radio guy.
But yeah, no, and you were very funny. And
I was a ballet dancer before I was a comedian.
Are you sure about that?
I remember those days also.
And I still have that move. I want you to do something for me before we run out of time. David Hochberg is here.
Oh, yes.
And David Hochberg is a very famous financial genius.
I know he is.
And he had a very important meeting this morning where he was foreclosing on an old lady and taking away her home. And because of that...
He's got a whole team that does that.
Yeah, I don't do it. My people do it. Yeah.
Team Hochberg.
So he came in here like nearly having a heart attack, running out of breath. So I told him we'd give him a second to catch his breath.
Appreciate it.
Tim does a musical song. Does this need a setup at all?
It really doesn't, but it's a little bit money related.
Thank you.
And okay. I thought that it'll give you some time.
And to I want to dedicate this to you, David.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. Here's Tim Cavanaugh.
Here we go. I'm thankful for the roof over my head, though technically I don't own it. I'm thankful for my TV and my phone that I rent to own. I'm thankful for my car and 7.9% APR. I've only got 46 payments left. I'm thankful that I live in this great country, though I'm behind in my taxes. I'm thankful for my dear mom and dad, the best co-signers I ever had. I'm thankful for my girl. I just bought her a big string of pearls, and I won't make a payment till next year. And most of all, I thank God for credit. Imagine paying only as much as you got paid. That would ruin my life in almost every way. I thank God for credit every day.
That's as good as it gets right there. That's my friend Tim.
That was fantastic.
TimCav.com to get hold of him, to book him, to see him wherever. And Pete is always great on stage. He's great at his house. He's great in a car. And he's great on the radio.
Pete,
you feeling it again anytime
guy
soon?
Not yet.
Okay, so you know, keep it on. Where do we follow you on social media?
Pete McMurray. I just posted a video of Tim and I.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for what you're doing for the H Foundation.
Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure.
The Goombe Bash. If you'd like to hang around and see a real pro work, David Hochberg's about to be underway here.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
David Hochberg's here. What's the name of your company, David?
It is called Homesite Financial. You can follow us at Team Hochberg. It's really the easiest way to get a hold of us and to follow us.
I understand you just hired Julian Assange.
Yes. Yes, he became available, and we jumped right on that.
Pete, by the way, is taking refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy later today just to get the attention.
bring clean sheets, because I think they've been worn down. Yeah.
So, all right. So, how are the markets today?
Markets are great. It's a great time to buy a home if you have established credit, if you have a job, if you have a down payment, minimal down payment. You don't need a lot of money for a down payment. If you're a veteran, you don't need any money for a down payment. If you could get into a home for as little as zero down, if you're in a rural area with a USDA rural loan, you get into as little as 3% down with Fannie Mae Freddie Mac's loan and 3.5% down with FHA loans.
All right. So, what about PMI?
PMI is fantastic. Private mortgage. Mortgage insurance, it's a cost to do business to get you in the house. If you don't have 20% down, PMI falls off. PMI used to be tax deductible. They're still working on that.
Well, who's walking around with 20% down?
Not too many people. And right. I'll tell you what happens is, and I had this conversation with a guy by the name of John Williams who works here in the afternoon.
Yeah, he's the guy that talks to dead presidents.
Yeah, yeah, and he does a really good job. Yes. And he enjoys it, and he's very, very, and does a great job with those. Mm-hmm. But what, you know, his big thing was, because there was an article in the Tribune, you need 20% down, and nobody has 20% down. Listen, a lot of people listening right now, it's been documented, are carrying between $20,000 and $40,000 worth of credit card debt, and I ran the numbers with John. I don't have them handy with me here, but it is much better for you to take the money out of your checking and savings account, pay off your credit cards, let your credit scores go higher, and buy the house with less money down with PMI and a higher credit score than it is carrying $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 worth of credit card debt. Just doesn't make any sense. And your overall monthly payment will be a lot lower without the credit card debt. With the PMI.
What sort of credit rating are you looking at to get in?
We get people into homes for. We just talked to a lady right now. Went through a horrible divorce. Husband threw a couple of torpedoes in her bow before he left. Just completely destroyed her credit. She's working on enhancing her credit. Went to a realtor's mortgage broker who just didn't give her any help at all. Her ex-husband, who blew up the credit, gave her my name, so that thanks to him for passing on the name. I feel sorry for her that he blew up her credit, but we're in the process of getting her done. To answer your question, she has like 540, 560 credit scores.
You can't get into a house.
We could get into a house.
At 560?
At 560, with like 20% down. She's got a ton of money to put down. She wants to be closer to her daughter, right? She's living here. He's living there.
She's under a lot of stress.
She's under a lot of stress. So I'm like, listen, if you got 3 to 6 months, we could get your credit scores up, get you into an FHA loan and move it down the line and then keep enhancing your credit and refinance into something better in the future. She's like, well, you know, if I find something I want to know, I'm like, listen, it's going to be 20% down. The rates are going to be 8, 9, 10%, but we could get you into a house. The rate's going to blow. She's like, right now, the rate doesn't matter to me. I want to be closer to my daughter. I've got a 40-mile span between where I'm living and where she's living. I want to be close to my daughter. So in that case, we could get this.
Well, if somebody is cash heavy like that, could they get into a loan and then refi in a year?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
if you were paying attention to what I just said, that's exactly what I just said, and that's the point. We could enhance your credit over that time period.
What time are you on?
What time am I on here?
Yeah,
I'm about ready to get kicked off
for this interview. all right. So, but the real the
but we can get people in.
But that's a stretch. I mean, that's a lot of work to get somebody in. I'm not saying don't do it, but to get somebody into a house, the number you like to work with, what, mid-sixes?
It'll be great if everybody had a 700. It'd be great if I get them to a pair of 32-inch pants. I haven't been able to pull that off in 30 years, okay? But
how high can you get them? Just thighs?
How high?
Yeah, 32s?
By the ankles. Probably mid-calf. Okay. I'm just saying.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
Yeah, I probably need two 32s strapping together and getting
them. Hey, there you go.
So
yeah.
I'm just trying to help, you know, the jean-selling companies out there. Mm-hmm. But we could get individuals. Perfect would be something that starts with a 6,
mm-hmm.
right? The higher up on the 6 is the better. If it starts with a 7, God bless you, it's a lot easier. But mm-hmm. we've gotten people, this lady's a perfect example. See, 540, 560, if she wants to get in to get closer, the rate's going to stink, but we could get her in then and help her enhance her credit. Pete can be with his friends. I've helped Pete's friends enhance their credit. It's just, you know, Pete's like, well, what do you got to do to help them? Like, they just have to follow the plan.
Right.
And Pete's friend was you know, credit challenge. We put him on the program. You know, it was a couple, he, she, boom, and their credit score went up like 50, 60 points, what, 6, 8 months?
Yep. Do you think Pete should dump that friend?
I think Pete needs more friends like that should come to me so I can help them enhance their credit
by
so
the
they can
way,
refinance their home.
He's done 5 mortgages for me. Yes. 5.
For you?
Yes. 3 houses, 2 refis.
And Sarah,
maybe 6.
Yeah.
What are you, a real estate baron? How many houses do you own?
I mean, I text him all the time. I'm like, hey, should we refi?
Well, back this up. How many houses do you own?
No. Well, I've lived in Chicago for 20 years. Yeah. This is what you do. You keep moving and you move up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you currently own six houses.
Come on. No.
No, we refinance.
That's what it sounded like. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, I have three houses. Yeah.
All right. When we come back, give me a topic you want to hit when we come back.
I would love to talk about the listeners that we helped who was buying a home. It was an experienced individual who was buying a home in Arizona.
All
okay.
Right.
He had a ton of equity here in the western suburbs and strategically planning ahead before you go to Arizona to drop in some mortgage broker that the realtor's got in their back pocket.
Is this a retirement thing?
It's his summer home. He wants to sell the home up here in the next 2, 3, 4
okay,
years.
Okay, so the lesson we're going to learn is thinking ahead.
And plan ahead a little bit.
Why are you yelling at me?
It's talking
Stop
loud.
Stop yelling at me.
I'm talking. I'm still getting over.
I'm sensitive.
Running across the bridge. I'm
sweating like crazy.
Gosh, right. For the love of God, I got to get into better shape.
Is Look your left arm numb?
Have you got a paddles or something?
Wow.
Who's doing mouth to mouth? I got
Glad
four guys in here.
You feel like an elephant sitting on your chest?
I feel like an elephant, period. But you could lose the chest part.
All right, stand by. More with calm, cool, and collected David Hochberg. David Hochberg's here. All right, tell me your success story with this Arizona thing.
Okay, so I get a call from a guy earlier in the week. He's like, hey, I'm down in Arizona. I'm getting charged over $6,000, $7,000 for closing costs. Do you think that's high? I'm like, yeah, that's not only high, it's exorbitantly high. I'm like, what are you trying to do? He's like, well, I listen to you all the time at GN, and I'm buying a second home down in Arizona. We're going to retire down here in a couple, 3, 4 years. I'm like, okay, what do you own here? He's like, I live in the western suburbs. I'm like, what's your house worth? About $400,000. Like, what do you owe? About $98,000. What's your payment? About $1,100. He's been in it a while and he's paid it down. I said, okay, what do you need out in Arizona? He's like, I need about $100,000 in Arizona. I'm like, okay, so why don't we do this? Why don't we do a $200,000 cash out of your home up here, pay off your existing home? Take out enough money for you to pay cash for the Arizona home, and your mortgage payment is going to be basically exactly what you're paying now. He's like, you could do that. I'm like, yeah, it's what I do for a living. You've been listening to me on the radio, you said, for a long time. This is what we do. So long story short, we were able to quote him a rate high. So we quoted him a rate where he would pay for the closing costs, and we quoted him a rate where we credited back the closing costs. The rate was about a quarter to three-eighths of a point higher. I don't know what the exact thing is, but essentially, he was able to cash out of his home up here. His payment is about the same. It was going to be substantially less than what it was going to be. What
if he had done the deal in Arizona separately.
Right, because he would have had a $900-some payment and a $500 payment here. So his payment, he's saving like $500, $600 a month.
Right.
Zero closing costs up here. There's still closing costs, but we're giving him a full credit. And he's basically buying it down there for cash. So he's wiping out all those closing costs on the Arizona transaction.
Well, that's the thing that your friends at Team Hochberg will do. Now, David will yell. And he'll scream.
He'll talk loudly,
and his hands will fly all over.
True.
But he knows this stuff. And Pete, you'll back me up on this, Pete McMurray. He knows this stuff inside out. And so you got to come and you got to ask the questions.
Right.
There's not magic. You know your stuff.
No, listen. And when we ask you questions about your situation, we're not like, it's not going to TMZ and putting it out on the internet. We need to know why your credit is so challenged. And like this lady whose husband
just come in and tell the truth.
Just tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not going to judge it. You can believe the stuff Hochberg shared. Most of it's about his relatives.
My God. I got some stories about my cousin. Forget about it. You don't want to go there. Yeah. And then I can't even, because my aunt's listening. I don't want to get into
it.
I didn't talk to her for like 4 years.
The Rain Man of mortgages.
That's exactly right.
That's what he is.
Yeah, he's
doctor,
amazing.
One of my clients called me the Dr. Phil of finance, which I personally like because Dr. Phil has a tendency of talking loud.
Right.
But Rain Man is okay, too. Maura Miles came up with that one many, many moons ago.
And Hochberg spells finance, P-H-I-N-I-Z-E.
There's no other way to spell it. With an apostrophe.
All right, I got time for one texter. Here you go. 219. Yes. Mortgage brokers, advertisers, no closing costs.
That's a bunch of crap.
Hold on.
Okay.
They'll pay lenders' fees, appraisal fees, on and on and on. My question is, are they really paying them, or are they just being rolled into the actual home loan?
Here's how it works. Number one, every loan has closing costs. There's no such thing as a no closing cost loan, no matter how many people want to advertise. No closing cost, no matter what language, no matter what variation you say it. Every loan has closing costs. There's two ways to cover closing costs. Number one, you roll it into your loan. Number two, you take a higher interest rate from the lender. The lender uses the extra premium they get from the bank to credit it back to you. So if you have a larger loan amount, it's obviously easier to make money to cover your closing costs, because the closing costs are about $2,100. Just say about two G's. Okay? So on a $100,000 loan, in order to cover $2,000, it's tougher than on a $400,000 loan, because there's more meat on the bone on a $400,000 loan. We always say, here's your options. If you want the lowest rate out there, which is what you're seeing on the internet, you've got great credit scores, here's your rate, and here's your monthly payment, because you have to roll, you have to increase your loan amount to cover the closing cost.
It's just math.
It's just simple math.
It's math. There's nothing
no
personal.
Special
it's just math.
Sauce. Thanks, Pete, for calming me
I'm
down.
I'm worried about his blood pressure.
I hear all of this garbage. No closing costs. No rates are back in the threes. Oh, yeah? Really, Spartacus? Rates are back in the threes? Where's that? Right? How much are you paying to get in the threes?
Right.
Oh, by the
right.
way,
right.
it's a 10-year fixed loan. It's not right. a 30-year fixed right. loan. So right. all the listeners here, right. it frosts me if you can't tell.
I know.
All the listeners to hear, it's in the threes, and they call.
Yeah, come
and they're
over
like,
here.
Well, that's the
come
10th.
Over here. Here you go, David. Here you go.
Okay, buddy.
I want to reach through the, I want to reach through the, I want to reach through the, what's it called? The radio, the speaker, and smack the guy who says, oh, the rates are in the threes. The rates aren't in the threes.
It's okay. It's going to be okay.
God.
T. Mockberg, I'll tell you how to get a hold of him in a second. You go lay down for a minute.
Great to be here.
All right, 56David.com.
Pete McGuire, you got to leave.
Yeah.
Pete,
yeah.
Nice to see you. We'll hear you on the radio in different places. And
love
you back next Wednesday. And Tim, I'd like you to hang around.
I'm going to hang around.
Okay.
I just want to see. Yeah, I want to see Mount Hochberg.
Mount Hochberg.
You want to write a song there?
It's going to blow.
A songwriting boy.
You
let's
know
get
what
going.
That,
snap
I'm,
to
I'm,
it. Let's I'm get the piano out.
Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love. But confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
That's Tim Cavanaugh too. That's how talented he is. It's unbelievable.
I mean, to be able walking.
To that's pull right. that off. I don't know how tight your underpants are, but that's impressive.
That's right. I wear them with my Naga hide pants.
Yes, of course
which
you do.
Make me look good.
More with Tim coming up in a little bit. Wendy Snyder's here. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, Steve.
Nice to see you.
You as well.
I think you'll agree with me that Chicago is not just the greatest radio market in the world over history, but the best female talent in America has and does work here.
Amen to that, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
My friend Patty Steele in New York is tremendous, and there are some talented women certainly in other parts of the country. But for whatever reason, Chicago's drawn the best women as well as the best male talent as well. And one of them is sitting to your right.
Turi Ryder is here. Turi has written a book. It's called She Said What. We're going to talk about an event that's coming up on Sunday. But I just want to say when I graduated from high school in 1981, I pretty much knew I wanted to be in radio in junior high, and I would listen to another station down the dial, and there was a woman who had a talk show, and it was Turi Ryder, and I was very impressed. So you kind of inspired me.
It wasn't supposed to be a talk show. It was an ambush talk show.
How did that happen?
It was a guerrilla talk show. Well, you never get off overnights in those days. You were just there. And they were starting to do more talk radio, and they didn't want me to do any.
Were you supposed to play music?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Although that's how I got fired a few times.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know, the heck with it. The bosses are sleeping. I know that they're sleeping. They sleep all day in their offices, too. They
sure,
never
do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do. So I started. I was jealous. There was a woman who was the sex therapist, and I'd wanted that gig so badly, and they didn't give it to me, and I thought, okay, I'll be the unqualified sex therapist. That's what I'll do.
Was that Phyllis Levy or
yes,
something
yes,
like that?
She's wow. retired in Florida, yeah. bless her heart. And I was, I thought, I, you know, she was, I'm probably the age that she was then, and I thought, well, what does she know? And now that I am that age, I think, probably a lot. But I just thought, fine, we'll just, you know, I will give you bad advice from someone who's not qualified to give it. And people just, maybe it's just because we're the Midwest and people are nice, people would call. And the weird thing is, no matter what you ask them, they will answer it.
There's an intimacy to radio that makes radio special and always will. By the way, I'm not knocking podcasts. Podcasts are great. I have one. We certainly podcast everything here. But you're not a broadcaster because you have a podcast. You're a podcaster, and good for you. Congratulations. Knock yourself out. But you have to put in the time, the sweat, the work to get to where Turi's been, to where Wendy's been. And that's what's laid out in the book, too, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And there's no eraser when it's live radio. It's like a constant high wire act.
Yeah.
No cutting and pasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no potchkeying around with the... It is what it is, which is why it's special.
You're going to host this event when?
Sunday.
This is happening Sunday. You have all the details in your head.
Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Cool event.
You will be stepping over the remains of the Saturday Night Live exhibit, which they're removing.
Okay.
And then you get to this fabulous room where these fabulous women from lots of different stations and lots of different stages in their careers. Can I say all the people?
Of course.
Okay. Catherine Johns, you know, from Mornings.
I know Catherine. Love Catherine.
Yeah,
and Cheryl Corley, who's National Public Radio, Wendy, me, and Roz Varon from Channel 7 is going to moderate the thing. Bless her heart. She's just coming back from Cuba, so she may be like totally sunburned.
Do we know she's coming back from Cuba?
You know, that's a good question. That could go either way. So we're gonna have chocolate in between. Because
that was what you thought would we'll have chocolate.
We will have chocolate.
I'll do that's it. Tremendous.
Tickets are at Eventbrite. She said what? And we're doing a fundraiser for a scholarship, ideally for women who want to study what we do. Not
that's
just
very
from
cool.
Us.
Yeah. All right, now who is your idol? Who did you look up to?
Oh my gosh. You know, I grew up listening to WFMT's Midnight Special, which was this potpourri of weirdness. Mm-hmm. And so all those comedians like Nichols and May and Bob Newhart.
Oh, Elaine May.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. All those people.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of women because, you know, radio is as sexist as any part of show business. And women weren't given the opportunity, which is why you guys are still, like it or not, you're pioneers. You're still breaking ground by doing what you're doing.
I can't say there were so many on the air, but I will tell you that Allison Steele from New York was very kind to me.
Yeah.
And even though there's no way in the world that I could have smoked enough cigarettes to have sounded like Allison Steele.
It's amazing Allison Steele's still alive,
no,
by the way.
She's not.
Oh, she died?
No, bless her heart.
Oh, my God.
She
I didn't
passed.
Know that. But, no, so much for that reference.
It's okay. She was the first. And she dated Frank Sinatra. Get that Sinatra
yeah, about
reference
that.
In there. So she was the one who said, dress how you want to dress, be who you want to be, do your thing on the air.
Which is great, because nobody else would have encouraged you to do that.
No, and she could, because she was it. And every job, I don't know if you had this happen, every job you'd apply for, they'd say, oh, you know, you don't sound like Allison Steele, or you do sound like Allison Steele. She was all the women that they knew.
She was a scorecard.
She was it. Yeah.
Who else did you? I know you said Turi was a big influence on you, Wendy. Who else?
Sky Daniels, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah,
I'm not even kidding.
He just retired.
Yeah. Growing up here, I grew up in Brookfield. You listen to the radio here. Jackie Renice was also on WLS radio at the time.
And you were a rock chick.
I was. I knew I started in the music end of things, and working overnight, I didn't have a pair as big as Turi's to just kind of...
Oh, don't knock your pair. Your pair's fine.
Well, now it's grown. But back then, I played music because I played music, and every once in a while, you'd sneak in a longer break, but when you worked at a rock radio station, you'd have a program director calling you going, shut up and play the
exactly.
hits.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I like Lou Jack. Lou Jack was great.
He was pretty great.
He was the first person who made it okay to be miserable. I mean,
that's a good point.
Well said. By the way, the book again is She Said What, Turi Ryder. Out and wherever you get books, get it. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll lose at least one of them.
720 WGN. But I know I'm 5 1 singer.
Sunday, noon to 3, at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, Women of Chicago Radio. And tickets, $25 if you get the book, right?
Yeah, book comes with the high-end ticket there.
And wait, you get the book for $25?
Well, I'm donating my proceeds to this wannabe scholarship.
Good Lord,
so
woman.
Essentially, for the cost of the book... You get to go to the whole shebang. And if you want to masquerade as a student or actually are one, you can go for 15.
Yeah, if you're going to lie, we're not going to stump you.
Yeah, I believe in that.
Eventbrite.com. Those student tickets are available as well. So we hope everybody will come out. That's on Sunday. Wendy, your favorite radio story that you can tell on air?
Oh, boy. I don't.
You want to save it for Sunday, don't you?
I got to think of one by Sunday, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Turi?
I got a lot of them. I mean, so many. Do you want to pick a category?
Well, give me a Lou Jack. Give me a Lou Jack story.
Okay, so Lair. His favorite word was Lair. His favorite word was the F word.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talked to him off the air, it was with every, you couldn't possibly repeat verbatim. But one day he was in late, because I did all nights, and he was there. And he lost track of the tapes for Animal Stories. He went bananas looking for them, because he worked hard. They all worked. All these guys worked hard. Winston, Landecker, they all
takes a lot of work to look like it doesn't take a lot of work.
That's right. Yeah. And he found it, and he was editing it. And he looked at me and he said, "Most important thing, writer, leave the ing pauses in." And the next thing that I have to tell you was his great piece of advice, which was, "Writer, nothing's better than when you have them over at ing barrel and never go anywhere for less than a 2-year deal."
Wow. So you would get these nuggets of wisdom from Yoda just at different times.
He hardly ever talked. I think that's about a year's worth of conversation right there. That he was a sweet guy. He got up really early. And the only thing that he told me when I first met him, of course, he probably didn't want to talk to me because I told him I probably reminded him of his great-granddaughter. But he was very adamant about me not letting anybody know when he got up because his wife was alone in the house and he worried about her.
How about that?
He was very sweet. And he didn't talk to anybody except his wife. And then he was like, he was a school kid.
Yeah, he was a good family guy.
Yeah, he was.
And went through some really tough times, tragedy.
He did. And he genuinely was a pro. When somebody, one of our staff people, had a cancer scare, and Larry in the staff meeting said, "I want to drive my new Corvette." I mean, that was his version of bringing you a hot meal and chicken soup.
Pretty nice.
And if you did something and he thought it was good, he never said it to you, but he'd go right into management and say, "I heard Ryder in that helicopter the other day. She sounds great."
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Why was he so crotchety on the air then?
Do you want to know how much he got paid?
Yeah.
That's how come, yeah.
But I mean, that was who he was. That was one of the things too, right?
He was grouchy.
He told me one thing. I think he put this in his book. He told me one thing when I was, the only time I met him, I interviewed him, but the only time I met him in person, I was doing mornings somewhere before I was fired. And he said, "Get another house." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You got to have a place to sleep, and it's not going to be where your family is." He said, "Buy a house to sleep in." Great to see you, Tori.
Thank you so much.
Congrats
for having
on the book.
Me. Thank you.
Sunday, Wendy will talk more about it coming up here in a second. Bill will join us as well. She said, "What?" Tori Ryder's book. It's out and available everywhere. And Tim Cavanaugh is going to sing Wendy and Bill into their show next.
I can't wait.
Steve Bertrand in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom after this on WGN. All right, it's 10 o'clock, Scotch past 10 o'clock, and I promised Tim Cavanaugh to you two. And Tim is a very expensive entertainer. This costing me hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes, it is.
And Tim is going to sing you into the show and the legal ID that we call it here. Tim, where will we see you perform next?
You know what? You're going to see me on Wednesday at the Big Cancer for Cure Comedy for... It's called Comedy for Cancer. That's what it is. It's too many
seasons. Well, not for cancer.
It's comedy.
We're not raising money really for cancer. We're raising money to fight cancer.
Against cancer. And it's
anti-cancer, Tim. You've said that many times.
Part of the Goombay Bash Network and the H Foundation.
Right. And it's going to be at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove.
Right.
And it's going to be me and Patty Vasquez and Paul Favreau.
Right.
And
yeah, we don't even know what happened to the third syllables.
And Pete McMurray will be hosting. So it's going to be great. And my buddy Jim Peterk is going to stop by and do a couple tunes.
What are you going to sing?
What am I going to sing?
Right now.
Right now, I'm going to sing the new Bill and Wendy theme song.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm hoping. It's just...
Right. Here we go.
Bill and Wendy, always trendy, Left and Snyder, one's a biter, made the mistake, I did a guest spot, after Bill nipped me, I had to get shots, and now I'm hooked on Rabitussin, I'm hooked on the show, and afraid of water.
That's great.
Wow. I just wrote it.
I don't know if you can tell.
Hey, Tim, it sounded like fun.
I wrote that just sitting
thank
here.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thank great you. Thank you, Steve. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
This is the best. Lincoln Forum tonight, kids. Come see me at the Lincoln Forum tonight with Gary Cole. We'll be there from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Union League, Chicago. LincolnForum.org for tickets and information. Your turn.
I am a Star Wars widow for the weekend. Jimmy Mack is covering the Star Wars celebration downtown podcast Rebel Force Radio, so we'll talk to him. And Dean is also excited about Star Wars celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Odell. O-L-D-A.
Oh,
Olda.
That's mean.
Yoda's grandpa?
Olda. I got nothing. See you tonight. See you tomorrow.